So I was the bad guy of the session.
Yeah.
And I invited down Sebastian Chen, or Seb Chen. And Seb has a background in social policy, journalism and interactive media, and is currently the head of digital, social and emerging technologies at the Powerhouse Museum.
Thanks, everyone. I was just going to mention World Without Oil and that sort of serious games and ARGs and China Art and these sorts of things. But Giles spoke about museums being glossy and slick, and I think that's one of the biggest problems museums face, is that we've scaled up to this mass audience scale, and we've lost the ability to do things that are less glossy and slick and are more edgy. And one of the beautiful things about the web, and that's been my background now for the last 15, 20 years, really, has been that the web has reduced the temporal gap between the artist and making a consumer product. So whereas Giles talks about this 10-year temporal gap between the art, and then how the ad agencies then steal that art and make an ad out of it, on the web it's a much shorter period of time. You can be much more rapid on the web too. But yesterday we talked about magic and science, and what I was thinking about yesterday was this porous border that we really try to avoid in museums, but also in science also too. The porous border that exists between what is science and what is also seen culturally as magic. Also, when science is performed as magic, these are the things that museums were really good at doing. And also, when there was a porous border between museums and myth, and the sense that museums could inspire wonder, curiosity, and imagination. So this fake mermaid was a wonder, and it worked to inspire people to be excited about science. And those museums that kind of played with this sort of sense of reality, I think had a really strong role in inspiring people to explore and to become people who become designers who will solve problems for the future. So museums, that's a bit of a diversion, but I just thought, you know, we talk so much about science, but I really wanted to hear about magic and myth. Anyway, so back in the museum space, so much focus in museums has been about this sense of during the museum visit. And the museum visit is entirely about visiting a building. Now, so much of my work and my team's work have been about the pre-visit. What is it that people do before they actually visit a sort of museum? So this is sort of how the web has evolved in the museum space, but primarily as a marketing tool in the 90s, and then we got a bit more exciting in the 2000s, but primarily, it's still predominantly museums think of the role of their web projects and also mobile projects as marketing tools. Maybe worthy marketing tools, but still marketing tools. But really, the opportunity is to see this as also a post kind of sort of visit experience, where your museum visit isn't one that begins and ends when you walk in and out the doors, but it's a continuous experience that then, for people who run museums, is really critical, because it creates that revisitation feedback loop, that cycle. And I think this is what Emmeline was getting at when he was talking about getting beyond the exhibition model. Because the exhibition model primarily takes place purely within that during experience. I think it's incredibly limiting. And, you know, museums have done publishing and these sorts of things, but it's not enough. And there's a lot of new opportunities, which I'll skip to now. So in my team's work with the web, and when I speak and work also with a lot of other museums, I kind of have this sort of notion of the post web accord. This accord that's kind of been struck between people in museums and people who make web things. So that now there isn't this tension between people visiting the website no longer coming to museums, but museums have kind of finally realised that actually the gallery experience gives an experience of the object, and the web makes accessible the data cloud that surrounds these objects. So in your pocket, you can now carry around way more data about the things in museums than the museum itself holds. And also that then, if we see that sort of cycle, that full holistic view of the museum visit, museums can actually become properly a form of collective kind of storytelling and story making too. The problem though, of course, is that for most visitors, and the way we communicate to most visitors, is we see the museum visit in a museum like ours primarily as a bricks and mortar experience. And one of the first things we have to change is that sense of the museum visit being defined in such a narrow way. So we make these beautiful galleries. This is our global warming gallery head, it's called Eco-Logic, which is being beautifully redesigned, as was said earlier. It's very nice and clean. It's tasteful. And I think it's also quite effective, but the problem is that because it's been designed within the building, the one bit it hasn't addressed is that this gallery, this physical gallery space, is located at the end of the majority of most visitors' visits. It's on the bottom floor, in the bottom corner before the cafe. So by the time people navigate through the building as a journey, as a story, they're reaching the end of their visit. They are tired. All of these sort of factors, design factors, limit its sort of potential. Placing lounges within this space doesn't really address that critical design flaw, which is where it is placed within the entire visit of a narrative is flawed, irrespective of the exhibition design itself. It's got interactive experience. It was recently redesigned to add a water element. And one of the water elements my team's worked on was this sense of what could you do in the gaming space that would create an experience that wasn't such a static museum game. So we co-designed with a digital agency in Sydney an iPad game. And I say actually co-designed because it was properly co-designed. It was conceptualised not as a technology, but as an experience. And then the technology choices were shifted from a big interactive table to then a table full of 8 iPads connected that were running the game. And purposely embracing consumer technologies in a way that would make visitors feel it was theirs. So the effect of that has been quite interesting. So this placement of this interactive, which is in really in many ways a traditional one, has an effect. So this is the time lapse of visitors in this space. So you can see that they gather around the table of these iPads and play them. Now the problem of that is it does divert attention away from looking at the other parts of the gallery that surrounds the iPad. So again, these have these design implications, these spatial effects. But of course, you know, games are kind of cool, and the game was designed to give an experience of what it feels like to deal with managing complexity in a water cycle. So if you had to run a water utility, it wasn't to show you how to do it, but how hard it was to actually do it effectively. But of course, my concern that with this sort of use of games is that games are inherently rule-based things, so people learn the rules to get better at them. They don't necessarily get better at designing different sets of rules that fall outside the game. So this game, we hope, will be available as a consumer version, and of course in that sense that we heard this morning from Wayne. It's really, really important that these meet the teacher needs, so we get these nice quotes. Waterworks was mission accomplished. This is great. Okay, teacher would. But I don't think that really is achieving the broader potential. So what I'd like to say is, can this sort of activity be a museum visit too? Can walking around the city be a museum visit? Can valuable museum work be done that doesn't happen within the museum itself? Innovation speak, can we make a step change in what sort of museums are? We don't just iterate the form of the museum, but actually radically shift it. So there's been interesting work going on here. Museum Victoria's been doing some really great educational work in the mobile space. So they've been working with the education department to not just create a mobile species guide, but to create a mobile species guide that is integrated with education programming and gets school kids to do field research for scientists, proper field research using the mobile tools. The Smithsonian, similarly, has just released, after 8 years of work on this, a project called Leaf kind of snap that allows people to take photos of leaves, and it will identify what plant it is from. But more importantly, when that photo is taken, location data of where that plant was. Or is sent back to a bio kind of diversity database. So this is engaging citizens in the day-to-day processes of science. Another project that's incredibly exciting. This is one. This is probably one of the best ones I've seen. This is from the it's a DISC funded project in the UK. The Maritime Museum and others are working on this. This is looking at citizen digitised ship logs as a way of documenting historical weather events, geolocated weather events. So what happens, and what is a beautiful thing about this, it gets people who are fascinated by ships, but not kind of necessarily about weather or climate kind of change, gets kind of them to do real work museums need kind of done, which is digitising the ship logs, and provides really valuable data to scientists about historical weather conditions. So this is, you actually become part of a ship's crew, and you take on tasks to digitise day by day the ship's logs. And the forums are full of amazing kind of stories of people realising what it actually was like to live on a ship, and they're also creating real valuable climate kind of data. We're doing this in Australia as well, but in a less engaging way. There's a project called Search that is working with the NLA and the archives to mine old weather records. What I think was really great about the ship logs one is it was engaging people in a way that utilised the web's inherent sociality and made it social and cultural thing to do. So the word of caution here is this can also be a dark sinkhole. We've done a lot of work around heritage photos. And these are these beautiful photos of Sydney and other places too. We put a lot of these into Flickr, and we ask people to help us document them and to locate them. So you could do this sort of thing. So you could stand with the photo on your mobile phone. Yes, there's a mobile app and all this sort of stuff. Right. Problem is, and this was pointed out by a researcher who did a kind of study and spoke to a lot of people who were working with us on this Flickr kind of stuff, right? And they kind of took Lewis Hyde's The Gift as a model for their work. And they said the problem with this, and the beautiful thing was we entered the circle of gift exchange with visitors, citizens, users, what have you. But the principle of reciprocity requires all parties to continue to give and receive. And in the case of the powerhouse, the sustainability of this relationship is the problem. The big issue for us is we did not and could not bring the community's contributions into our internal museum practices in a meaningful way that validated the work and continued to validate the work of citizens in helping us work with this stuff. Okay, photography is not our core collection focus, but this is one of the risks. So I guess the key challenges organisationally, and this came out of yesterday as well, was are museums necessarily, each kind of sort of museum needs to figure out what is the appropriate organisation for kids. Perhaps certain museums or certain museum types are not actually ready to be more than exhibits and buildings. How much kind of structural change do these particular museums require? Is it just agile, iterative change, or does it actually require a radical step change? And as I was speaking to people over the past couple of months, the problems of scaffolding visitors in, I guess Tara touched on this, the issue of the China Heart visitors coming into the museum. How much scaffolding do you require to make that dramatic mobile tour part of their kind of visit? And are we actually ready to take visitor contribution seriously? So as always, the internet is about cats.